facing sickness and the great tribulation.
And do we really have the power to heal and raise the dead?
Stay tuned for some interesting questions and fascinating Bible answers. I'm Kenia Reyes.
And I'm Ruben Covarrubias. Bible Help Desk starts now.
Welcome to Bible Help Desk. Ruben, you know, most of our viewers probably associate Bible Help Desk with us and our other co-host, Tiffany. But there's a whole team of people behind this program. Not only our wonderful technical crew here in the studio, but also a larger team that stretches to other states and even other countries, all working together to get answers to our viewers and channeling today's questions to you and me right here and right now.
That is so right, Kenya. And I am so glad we have such a great team working together here at Bible Help Desk for a common goal, to bring our viewers answers for life straight from the Bible.
Amen.
Our viewers are part of the family too, because without their questions, we would have no program.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're watching and have a question that you haven't sent in yet, it's not too late. Go ahead and call in with your questions and leave us a voicemail at 833-BIBLE-HD. You can also text us at that number or send us a message via Facebook, Instagram, or even our website at hopetv.org/BibleHelpDesk. And if possible, leave us an email so that we can contact you back. So Kenya, speaking of that, who are our guests today?
Well, one of our guests joining us is a friend of the show, Dr. Oleg Kostyuk. He is the assistant professor of religion at Advent Health University in Florida. He also holds a PhD in New Testament studies. He volunteers as a chaplain at Advent Health in Orlando, and we are always so blessed when he joins us here on the show to answer your questions. So, Dr. Oleg, thank you once again.
It's my joy to be here.
Joining us also is Dr. Martin Hanna. He is the Associate Professor of Systematic Theology at the Seminary at Andrews University. He holds a PhD in Theological Studies. He is also interested in the intersection of science and theology and serves as the Director of Theological Center for Interdisciplinary Dialogue. Mm-hmm. Dr. Hanna, thank you so much for joining us today.
You're welcome, Ruben.
Well, before we dive into your questions, we'd like to share a text from Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. And it reads, "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." And that is something that we love to be able to remember. And the best way to remain rooted, the best way for our faith to grow, the best way to be thankful is reading the Word of God, is making sure that we continue that relationship with God and we continue to learn straight from the Bible. So let us pray so that God can guide us on today's show. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for all of your blessings. We thank you for what we have been taught, the gospel that we have received has set us free, Lord. And in this moment, we ask that you help us to continue being rooted in you, to strengthen our faith, Lord, and to help us to also be thankful for the grace that we have received. We ask that you bless our viewers and that you also bless our guests today as they give us answers straight from your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. So let's go ahead and jump into our first question that came to us via text from Will. And he simply states, "Why does God allow sickness?" Mm. Wow. Well, Will, I know that plenty of our viewers can relate to this question. Everyone has been touched by sickness in one way or another. So, Dr. Hanna, I want to turn to you. And how does the Bible address this question that so many people have as to why does God allow sickness?
Mm. This is a very troubling question, a very serious question mm-hmm. that all of us wrestle with, sometimes when we get sick, and sometimes when a loved one gets sick, or even gets sick unto the point of death.
Mm.
Why does God allow this? I don't think we have a specific answer in the Bible that can apply to every specific case of when someone gets sick. The Bible's answer is more general. The reason sickness is in the world is because sin is in the world, because human beings have misused their freedom And as a result, we have done things that contribute to the existence of sickness and death in the world. Fortunately, God is a healer. And we have many examples in the Bible of God healing those who are sick. I like the answer Jesus gave when someone asks a question about sickness. His answer is recorded in John chapter 9 and verse 3. He said, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned so that he would be born blind. But this is an opportunity that the work of God may be displayed in his life." Hmm. So when we do get sick, God sees it as an opportunity to bring healing. And even if our sickness leads to death, God can still get glory out of that because he can even raise the dead. So it's good news to know that the sickness and the death in this world is not the final word, but God is a healer and he can even resurrect those who fall asleep in death.
Wow. So powerful and such a great reminder of God being the ultimate healer and that we do have hope in him, even in this world that is full of sickness. Thank you so much in pointing us in that direction, Dr. Hannah. Now, Dr. Oleg, I want to turn to you. Anything you'd like to add to this question, specifically you who deal with this maybe even from day to day?
Yeah, just one verse, Revelation 20, verse 10. "And the Satan who deceived them all was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur, where the beast and the false prophets have been thrown. They will be tormented day and night, forever and ever." So that will be the end of evil.
And that's such a great reminder and something that it's just part of the good news in the gospel, that there is that resurrection. There is that resurrection even in this life of sin and in this life of sickness. So thank you so much for pointing us in that direction and realizing that God is the ultimate healer and has the ultimate last word, if you will, at the end of time. Thank you so much. Kenya, what question do we have next?
Amen. Our next question came in via text from Henry, and it reads, "How does God want us to serve him?" Dr. Oleg, I'm going to turn to you. Is there a specific indication, some directions in the Word of God where it says how God wants us to serve him?
This is interesting. So we are, again, coming back to the book of John. Book of John, chapter 4, verses 23 through 24. And this is where Jesus is actually with a Samaritan woman. So they're by this well, and Jesus reveals something incredible to this woman who came to get some water from this well. And so chapter 4, verses 23 through 24. This is what it says. "A time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers," or the ones who serve, "will worship the Father," will worship or serve the Father "in the spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks." And then verse 24, "God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the spirit and in truth." So this is very interesting. And I would like us to just quickly say, talk about worship. So worship, the meaning serve, because it's, the question was, how does God want us to serve him? Mm-hmm. And the answer is very clear in John chapter 4, verses 24. His worshipers must worship, serve in the spirit and in truth. Mm. So in spirit and in truth. Now, the word worship in Greek, in Hebrew language, sounds as avodah. You can repeat after me, avodah.
Avodah.
Avodah. Exactly. You got it. That is perfect. Avodah. And it means to work. Mm. So what you do, you're recording this program right now. Mm-hmm. So you already worship. Hmm. Think about it. If you go to your office, if you lay bricks, think about it as worship. Hmm. When you hand out dinner, or when you check your taxes, or check taxes, or help other people to fill out taxes, when you provide electricity to someone, you already worship because you try to make this world a better place. Mm-hmm. So this is worship already. Now, here's another question. In spirit and in truth. Remember, in Galatians chapter 4, verse 22, it says, "The fruit of the spirit is," and Kenya, you can say, joy, love, peace, love, and so forth, and it moves, goes on. So now, exactly, all seven. So just what we see, it's, what is critical is, do I come to work and do I bring joy, love, peace? Am I the channel that brings joy, love, peace to others? So this is important. Worship, work, whatever I do with joy, love, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. And the last point, and in truth. Worshippers must worship in the spirit, bringing the spirit of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and in truth. So we always need to stand on the side of what is true. Recognize what is evil and what is good, and stand and even say something. You know what? Kenya, you can say, Kenya, you represent the goodness. But if you see evil in Oleg, you can say, Oleg, you represent evil, because I see that truth. And so that's why I would just say, serve is to worship, or to do whatever you do in life with the spirit, love, joy, peace, long suffering, and also in truth. Do I know what is right, and do I promote it?
Excellent, excellent. You gave us a thorough answer to...
I'm sorry.
No. We always appreciate a better and deeper understanding and knowledge of the Word of God. We don't want surface. We don't want superficial. We want to dive deeper. So thank you so much, Dr. Oleg, for your answer. And now we're going to break. Isn't that right, Ruben?
Yeah, we're going to go to break. And before we do, if you'd like to continue your study of the Bible beyond Bible Help Desk, make sure you check out our Bible study resource site at hope.study, a great site that we have there. There you will find several digital Bible study courses and also an option to receive free Bible study courses by mail. If you're in North America, you can also call and leave us your address, and we will mail those study guides out straight to you. And so now we're going to go for a quick break, but we'll be right back, so don't go away.
Have you ever wondered if there was more to life? Do you have big questions with hard-to-find answers? The Discover Bible Guides are Hope Channel's free gift to you. These 26 beautifully illustrated guides cover major themes of the Bible and answer some of life's deepest questions. Visit hopebiblestudy.org or call 888-446-7388 and begin your journey to discovery today.
A lot as we journey through life. Our teachers might be family, neighbors, or even colleagues, but it can be difficult to find a mentor who truly understands our heart, our dreams, our goals, someone who can help us overcome our deepest challenges. The Bible reveals that God wants to be your closest mentor, teacher, and friend. At Hope Channel, we can help you find freedom, healing, and hope in Jesus, and the wisdom in His Word, the Bible. We pray that the courses at Hope.Study will help you find answers to your deepest questions. Let's walk together toward a deeper experience of wisdom and joy.
Welcome back. text us your questions or call us at 833-BIBLE-HD and leave us a voicemail. Remember that you can also find us on Facebook and Instagram or on our website, hopetv.org/BibleHelpDesk, and leave your questions there. Our panelists today answering your questions are Dr. Oleg Kostiuk and Dr. Martin Hanna. And we've had some fantastic questions, and I know we still have some great questions coming up. So, Ruben, please tell us, what is our next question?
Well, our next question coming in is coming to us via voicemail. So let's go ahead and take a listen.
How does Satan still be alive after 6,000 years unless he was given the access to this tree of life? Does the Bible tell us anything about that? Satan's angels are still alive for 6,000 years. It just seems strange to me that he's still alive. And the angels are still alive, too.
Well, we want to thank our viewer for sending in that question. And it's actually a very interesting question. We can tell that our viewer has been diving into God's Word and has trying to piece some things together to understand it a little bit more. And so, Dr. Hanna, I want to turn to you regarding Satan and his angels. She feels that if he hasn't had access to the Tree of Life, how is he still alive and his angels?
Yes, Reuben, that's an interesting question. And the Bible doesn't explain it to us precisely. It could be, as the questioner suggested, that Satan has had access to the Tree of Life for so long that it still has an ongoing impact upon him, even until now. Mm-hmm. But the Bible doesn't tell us. The fact that Satan is still alive may simply imply that he is a different kind of creation that has a very long lifespan compared to human beings. Mm. You know, even on planet Earth, different kinds of living things live for different lifespans. Yes. And so this is one of those mysteries that we don't understand. Exactly why is it that Satan is so long-lived? Mm. But the good news is that Satan will not live forever. Mm. I love what we read in Revelation 20, beginning at verse 1, and also verse 4 and 5. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." One of those things that will pass away will be Satan. He will not be there in the new heaven and the new earth that God is preparing for us.
Yes.
And I'm thankful for that.
As am I. And thank you so much for pointing us in that direction as well, because it can seem hopeless, but we do see that God does have an ultimate plan, and that that tempter, that Satan, will not live forever, and we will be with Jesus and with God forever. Thank you so much for pointing us in that direction, Dr. Hanna. Kenya, what other question do we have next?
Well, our next question came in via text from our viewer, Horton, and it says, Matthew 10:8 says, "Heal the sick and raise the dead." The disciples then were told to follow through on this. Raising the dead in the name of Jesus, who can today have this power? Dr. Oleg, we are coming to you. We haven't seen many people raising the dead since Jesus was here on earth and his disciples were alive as well. So we want to know, is it possible to have this power? What does the Bible say?
Yeah, let's see what the Bible says. So it's Matthew chapter 10, verse 5. So the question is 10:8, 10 verse 8. But let's go to verse 5. And let's read Matthew 10, verse 5. "These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message: the kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give." So this is very important. Remember what this message is directed to? Who is this message? Is who this message is directed to, Kenya?
The 12 disciples.
Exactly. Very clear. These 12 Jesus sent with specific, and it says, with the following specific instructions. Mm-hmm. So, and sometimes there is always this desire to to basically transfer what was said in the scripture towards one group of people or certain person towards ourselves and say, oh, wait a second, but this is exactly what we need to do now as well. But the Bible in Matthew chapter 10, verse 5, and then verse 8 says very clear, these are the 12. So this message was directed to the 12. But we still have hope and we still have the power to actually, not we, we don't have any power. This is what is important. Mm-hmm. We don't have any power. And if somebody from the preachers or pastors or whoever that may be, or priests would say, I have this power to restore your health. You don't, we don't. The only power is in one hand, in the hand of God. Mm-hmm. And he, that's why in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51, he would say, the Paul would say, so 1 Corinthians 15:51, listen carefully, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. So that was needed for that time, to raise dead right there, right then. But now we know that even if we fall asleep, we will still wake up at that trumpet and we will all be resurrected with Jesus.
Amen. And I love that you ended with hope, the hope that we have of his second coming, the hope that we have in Jesus, that he is the one, God is the one who holds the power of resurrection. And we are so glad that he holds that power and we have that hope. So thank you so much, Dr. Oleg, for that deep dive into the word of God and that the answer you gave us straight from his word. Okay, Ruben, what is our next and final question?
Well, our final question coming to us came to us via text. And it says, is the great tribulation for unbelievers, as some preachers say, the rapture would have already taken place? Wow, what a very interesting question when it comes to the great tribulation, the rapture, so much wrapped up in this question. So I'm glad we have Dr. Hannah and Dr. Oleg here to kind of dissect this. Dr. Hannah, where in the Bible, or does it even address this question?
Yes, the Bible is very clear about the answer to this question. When people ask about the rapture, they're really asking about the second coming of Jesus Christ. The Bible connects those two things together. When Jesus comes again, the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised, and we shall be caught up, raptured, to be taken with Jesus into heaven. But the tribulation comes before that. Jesus said in John chapter 16 and verse 23, these things have I spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. The same message is contained in Acts 14, verse 22. We must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. And my favorite is what Paul writes in Romans 8, beginning at verse 25. He says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So Christians will go through tribulation. If you're a Christian today, you have already begun to go through tribulation. There will be a great tribulation yet to come in the history of this planet. But Jesus will return to earth to deliver us at the end of that tribulation period, as the Bible teaches us. Let us prepare ourselves in the strength of Christ to survive, to keep our faith, even in the midst of tribulation.
Wow, thanks so much for focusing on that and that tribulation aspect and how even as Christians we are facing this and God has that ultimate plan for us and we have hope in that. And hopefully our viewers watching in the order of the question, but I want to turn to you, Dr. Oleg, very quickly as we wrap up. It seems also that the viewer felt that is this rapture going to be a secret, which is something that is very common to believe, Dr. Hannah mentioned, but what else can you add to this question? And is this a secret when it comes to the rapture?
Yeah, what we do know for sure, I mean, this comes from Matthew chapter 24, when it says that, so and then they will be taken, they will be just snatched out. But what is interesting that when Christ comes, every single eye will see his coming. So there is no chance to snatch anything if he comes on the clouds with the great trumpets and everything else. It's a triumphal entry. So when this triumphal entry happens, those who are washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb, they are the ones who are also taken with Jesus. And that's why just one verse in Revelation chapter 7, verse 14, this is what it says, Revelation 7, 14. So it's John and angel talk about it, and this is what it says. I answered, Sir, you know, and he said, these are they who have come out of the great tribulation of their lives, of sorrow, suffering, wars, pestilence, anything, you name it. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. So that's why this is the hope. No matter what tribulation you go through, no matter how challenging or difficult it is, you know that if you wash your robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb, you will be healed and restored.
Amen. Amen. Coming back to Jesus and washing those robes, such powerful imagery. And I really like how you started with, you know, the trumpet sounds. And this is not a secret. This is something that everyone will hear and all I will see. But we will all be victorious in Jesus' name. Thank you so much, Dr. Oleg, for that answer. And overall, thank you for answering these questions, for your great insight. And Dr. Hannah, you as well. I want to thank you again, both of you, for taking the time to be here with us and answer these questions. Hopefully our viewers truly were able to gain more insight from your answers. Thank you.
I know for sure that our viewers have been blessed just like us. And so we want to thank you, our viewers, for watching and sending in those terrific questions that have allowed us to learn more about the Word of God. We want to remind you that you can call and leave us a voicemail with your questions. You can also text us and you can also find us on Facebook and Instagram. Make sure you follow us there and you stay updated with us. And you also are able to see all of our programs and send in your questions. If you're also interested in videos on demand, you can visit our website, hopetv.org/Bible Help Desk or on YouTube channel to find questions from previous shows and answers from the Word of God as always. So until next time, take care.